Are you in a situation in your life where you're thinking, oh, it can't get any worse? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Can it get any worse? You know, it always seems like it can get worse. I read about a lady who wrote in her journal. She said this, "Dear life, when I asked, can it get any worse? It was a rhetorical question, not a challenge." You know, you ever feel like that? Can it get any worse? Well, yeah, it can get worse, unless you joke.
What do you do when life unexpectedly caves in on you and you think it just can't get any worse? Well, that's what happened to a man in the Old Testament. His name was Job. And today, Pastor Jeff looks at Job's life to help us discover how to make those bad times glorious times. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles, and thank you for joining us for this midweek Wednesday message called Can It Get Any Worse? It's from Pastor Jeff's five-message series called Got Trouble? What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do? And you can find out more about this series and today's message when you go online to fromhisheart.org. Right now, open your Bible to the book of Job. Here's Pastor Jeff to help us find out what to do when it keeps getting worse.
If you have ever read the book of Job, I think you would agree with me. Couldn't get any worse for him. Can it get any worse than losing all your family and all your finances and your physical health, all just in this short little period of time? What do you do when life unexpectedly caves in on you? You remember three truths. Truth number one, remember there are things happening behind the scenes. Things happening behind the scenes that you don't see. See, the story of Job, Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, it takes place on two different levels. First of all, we are on the earthly level and we're finding out about Job, the greatest man in all the East and all that he has and his family and how Job was such a godly man. And then it shifts to the heavenly realm. Well, Job can't see into the heavenly realm. Job doesn't know, but there are things taking place above him in the heavenlies that he has no concept of. Verse 6 of chapter 1 says this, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord, Yahweh, said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job?'" God is so proud of Job. And Satan responds to the Lord in verse 9, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he'll surely curse you to your face." What does the devil want to do? Destroy you in order to discredit God. So remember, there are things happening behind the scenes. Second truth, remember the trouble you are facing is a test. It's a test. James says this, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." All trouble is a test. Now, here is the whole crux of the challenge between God and Satan. It's Job chapter 1, verse 9. Does Job fear God for nothing? That's the crux of the challenge. God, you're having to buy his loyalty. You're having to buy his worship. Does he fear you for nothing? Of course not, God. God, the only reason Job fears you, the only reason Job serves you is because you're his sugar daddy. But here's the deal, God, you take away the sugar and he will curse you to your face. So that's the crux of the challenge. That's what the devil is throwing in the face of God. Remember I told you, he hates God and he will use you and me to try and get at God, to try and hurt God, to try and dishonor God and discredit God. And see, the trouble will test your motives. Your motives. This trouble is going to show, verse 9, does Job fear God for nothing? Does Job follow God for nothing? Does he serve God for nothing? Does he love God for nothing? Or is it the thing that he wants, the stuff that God gives? Does he serve God for love, or does he serve him for loot? Does Job have a passion for God, or is it just all about the possessions that God gives him? I mean, if God is just going to rain down blessings upon you, are you going to serve him for the blessings? If he takes the blessings all away, then what? See, the trouble is going to blow away all the other things that we try and put upon our real motive. The trouble shows you your real motive. It always does. And your response to that trouble will reveal your heart. What's really in your heart? Because that's going to come out when the trouble comes. And when it comes in like a flood, it can't help but come out. And we read about Job, and it's just amazing. When he gets all the bad news in chapter 1, what does he do when he hears that? The scripture says, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Wow. Wow, what a response. It showed what was in his heart. He really did love God. And it wasn't for things. And then in chapter 2, when his wife says, curse God and die, he says in verse 10, shall we indeed accept adversity, good from God, and not accept adversity? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Wow, his response. Now, we're going to find out. He asks lots of questions. Man, he is hurting. He's not just sitting there singing kumbaya, this is great. He's hurting, and he is somewhat upset with God for allowing all this to come into his life. He has these three friends, but they're no help to him at all. They're no comfort at all. He says, what a sorry lot of comforters you guys are. He gets angry with them because what do? They tell Job, you got sin in your life, pal. That's why all this bad stuff is happening. Don't you know that sin brings and disobedience, that brings curses, but obedience brings blessings? Man, Job, you got to get yourself on blessing ground. And Job says, I'm on blessing ground. You guys don't understand. And no one understood what was going on because no one was privy to what was happening in the heavenlies. Your response reveals your heart. I've talked to people over the years who have had something terrible, tragic come into their lives. And so often, they get bitter. It's easy if you're not careful to get bitter at God. God, you could have prevented that. We may not say, God, you caused it, but we definitely know, God, you could have prevented it, but you didn't prevent it. And if we're not careful, we can start blaming God. We can get bitter at God. Listen, if you're here today and you're bitter, the way you deal with bitterness is you get honest about it. And you step back and you say, wait a minute, maybe I'm warped in my perspective here. Maybe I'm not seeing things correctly here. We get a warped perspective, especially when we go through trouble. And we tend to look at other people, what other people have. And we say, God, that's not fair. God, you're not doing right by me. And the Lord says, get your eyes off other people. Get your eyes on me. This trouble is a test. It's only a test. So you consider it all joy, because the testing of your faith produces endurance. So what am I to do when I don't know what to do and life drops out on me and the bottom drops out? You remember that there are things going on behind the scenes you don't know. Remember number 2, that this trouble is a test. And you remember number 3, that the victory is found in trusting God. What to do when you don't know what to do? You trust God. That's what you do. Because you don't have anything else. So you trust God. The key verse in the book of Job. Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. God, you are killing me. And I don't understand, God. But I'm going to still trust you. That's always the right response, to trust God. I believe that whenever we go through trouble, the Lord says the same thing to every one of us. Every time we encounter devastating trouble, He says, "My child, will you trust me? Will you trust me?" I was reading or listening on YouTube the amazing testimony of a missionary, Darlene Dibler Rose. I first heard her testimony years and years ago. They played her testimony on Focus on the Family. She was a missionary in Indonesia when World War II broke out, and she had just devastating, horrible things happen to her. And the Lord would come back to her time and time again, "My child, will you trust me?" She lost her husband, and she said, "I felt like the Lord left me," and the Lord spoke to her, "Trust me. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, I will be there with you, and the flame won't kindle upon you. Trust me." When she finally got free of all the terrible things, they put her in death row, and she thought for sure she was going to die, and all the terrible things that happened to her, and finally the war was over, and she was getting to go back home, and she was there on the boat. Her husband had died, and she was there on the boat, and she was hoping to see her mom and dad, whom she hadn't talked to in 4 years, hadn't heard from them at all in 4 years. And she said, "I thought for sure I would have gotten a telegram or something." Nothing. And she said, "Then it dawned on me, they're gone too." And she said she got alone and just prayed. And she said, "Lord, you took my husband, Russell. Did you have to take my mom and dad too?" And she said, God spoke to her so sweetly. "My child, you can trust me. You can trust me." And she said, "All right, Lord." She got up off her knees, and in the next 5 minutes, she met a Red Cross worker who said, "You have to help me. I don't have any money. I need to get back home, and I don't have a passport. I don't have anything." And the Red Cross worker said, "What's your name?" And she said, "Darlene Dibler." And she said, "I've been looking all over for you. I have 4 telegrams from you, from your parents, and they can't wait to see you. And they have money for you, and they have provision for you." And Darlene said, "I was so glad that God didn't let me meet that lady until I had that time of prayer to hear the Lord's voice say, you can trust me. You can trust me. Hey, in your difficulty, you can trust God, and you can trust God even when He doesn't make sense." Do you notice that about God? So much of the time, He doesn't make sense. God's ways are higher than our ways. We don't know what God's doing and why God does what He does. He doesn't check with us. He never asked me, "Hey, Jeff, I'm getting ready to do this. You think that'd be okay?" He just does what He does. He's God, right? And I think I've told you before, but it's worth repeating. I mean, if God were to explain Himself to you and to me, it's like explaining quantum physics to a 3-year-old. Try that sometime. See how well that goes. 3-year-old can't understand quantum physics. God, his mind is like the Pacific Ocean in vastness. You know, when you look out on the Pacific Ocean, it just goes forever. It's just so vast. You can't see the end of it. That's the mind of God. That's the understanding of God. You know what you and I have in terms of mind and understanding? Teacup. Teacup. That's about all we can grasp. And we come to God with a little teacup mind. We say, "Lord, I demand that you tell me what you're doing here. I need to know what's going on here." And God says, I can't get the Pacific Ocean in the teacup, sorry. So I'm not even going to try. You just trust me. Even when you don't understand and God doesn't make sense, you can trust Him. And you can trust Him even when He doesn't respond. You ever had that experience? You're going through trouble and you pray and you ask God why, as Job asked God why, and you do it reverently, but still you want to know, and man, it's a deep prayer. God, why is this happening to me? And God doesn't respond. God speaks in Job chapter 1 and in Job chapter 2, and then He doesn't speak again until Job chapter 38. From chapter 3 through chapter 37, none of God. 35 chapters, nothing of God. He's not speaking. And man, what do you do? And Job is asking God, "God, what is up?" He says in Job chapter 13, how many are my iniquities and sins? Make known to me my rebellion and my sin. Why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy? God, why are you not answering my prayer? It's tough when God is silent. It's tough. Maybe some of you are here and you know what? You got a big, 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 big problem. And you're only in chapter 23. You got a bunch more chapters till you hit chapter 38 in your life. And God is not going to speak. And you, how long can you go before you say, forget it, God, I'm out of here. I throw in the towel. I quit. Job didn't do that. And it's hard to wait on the Lord, but it's always the right thing to do to wait on the Lord. And so you trust God even when he doesn't make sense, and you trust him even when he doesn't respond. And you trust him, you know why? Because he's trustworthy. He's trustworthy, that's why. Because God's a good God. Because God is love. Because God is God, that's why. That's why you trust him. He's worthy of your trust. The Lord, this is what God says of himself. The Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. You can trust me. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? You can trust God. You know, when God comes on the scene, Job has asked why over and over and over and over again. Job was starting to not just ask why, he was starting to demand why. I want to have a conference with God so that God and I can work this out, so that I can show to God and say to God, God, I'm being unjustly treated here. And when God comes on the scene, very interesting, you read from Job 38 to the end of the chapter, chapter 42, you find out this. God never answers Job's why. God doesn't explain God, he just reveals God. He doesn't explain himself to Job, he just reveals himself to Job, and he reveals himself to Job this way in a series of questions. Job's been asking God questions, now God asks Job questions. He asks him, I think it's 69 questions that he asked Job, just in rapid fire. He asked Job three categories of questions. Can you explain my creation? Can you, Job, oversee my creation? Can you, Job, subdue my creation? You're asking a lot of questions, Job. You're bringing your little teacup to the party here, and I'm the Pacific Ocean, so I'm going to ask you some questions. Gird up your loins, Job, if you're a man and you're so smart and you can answer me. Man, when Job hears from God, he says, I heard of thee with the ear, but now my eye sees thee, and I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. Who am I to question God? You're God. God is worthy to be trusted. He knows what he's doing. What to do when you don't know what to do? You trust God. That's what you do. You just trust him. You say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And listen, this is why you can trust God. Because when you read the end of the book of Job, God restores Job. Job repents, and then God says, now, Job, you pray for your three friends. And Job had to do that to make sure his heart wasn't bitter at his three friends who were terrible comforters. And then the Bible says God blessed the latter half of Job far more than the former half of Job. And as he was rich before, now he had double everything. Double everything, and he gave Job 10 more children, three beautiful daughters, and seven sons. I was talking to Charles Lowry one day about that. I said, you know, he didn't give him double children. He said, yes, he did, because his children weren't gone. They were in heaven with God. So he gave him ten more, so now he had double. He had double everything. That's God. He is a God that you can trust. And I thought about this too with this story. I've thought about how hard it was for God to watch the one he loved so much, Job, experience all that terrible, horrible suffering. I thought about how hard it was for God to not speak for those 35 chapters, but he was doing something deep in Job's life. Listen, God loves you and God loves me, and God longs to do good to his children, just like you as a mom or dad long to do good for your children. But God has a deeper purpose and God is working a deeper work. Job's life was forever changed through the experiences that he went through. Would he want to repeat them? Absolutely not. But he wouldn't trade them for anything. I've talked to people over the years who've gone through terrible, horrible tragedy in their lives. Would they want to repeat it? No. But would they trade it? No way. Because they heard of God with the ear. But now, in a way, they have seen God and they've seen how faithful he is. You know, Darlene Dibler, when she closes her testimony, she says, you know, I tell my testimony and sometimes people weep for me. And she said, I always tell them, don't weep for me. She said, in those times in that prisoner of war camp where they were beating me every day, she said, I never cried before them, but I cried. When I would get to my cell, she said, I cried buckets of tears. But she said, I was never alone. She said, those were some of the sweetest times in my whole life because God was so real. Listen, I don't know what you're going through today, but I know there's one thing that God wants you to do more than anything, and that is trust him. Will you do it?
What a wonderful testimony from Darlene Dibler. In the worst situation imaginable, God was still with her. That's encouraging. Listen, just like Darlene, you and I face lots of troubles, and it's something everybody is all too familiar with, and they come on a daily basis. But sometimes trouble reaches a fever pitch, and we literally don't know what to do. But God does. Today's message was called, Can It Get Any Worse? And it was from Pastor Jeff's series, Got Trouble, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Now, this series is available when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, and just ask for the series, Got Trouble, or the message, Can It Get Any Worse? Or you can go online to fromhisheart.org. You can also simply listen to today's broadcast again online or download a free MP3 of it and share it with your friends. And also download the sermon outlines from Pastor Jeff. Again, go to our website and click the radio tab. Hey, this month is a special one for us at From His Heart, as we are seeking to find people with a vision for reaching the world who want to become vision partners for From His Heart. And Pastor, I know you agree that this is a very important part of the foundation of our ministry.
Larry, it is so important because From His Heart Ministries goes around the nation and around the world, and we cannot do that by ourselves. We need faithful supporters to come and partner with us to be able to reach more and more people with the good news that Jesus and Jesus alone will save you and will change your life if you'll just yield to him. Now, I don't take any money from this ministry. I am a volunteer and I'm a monthly vision partner. So I want to invite you and encourage you to prayerfully consider coming alongside me and joining hands, and let's together make a difference for the gospel while we still have time. Thank you.
Well, we're hoping to get 100 new vision partners this month, regular monthly givers to expand the foundation of this outreach so that we can take advantage of the new opportunities that are available to reach other parts of the world, other parts of the nation, and in other cities around the country. And we have to have the resources to begin to do that and to sustain the relationships with these new stations. So if you pray about that and God moves on your heart to invest in kingdom work through From His Heart, just go to From His Heart and click the Vision Partner banner right on the homepage. We have some special gifts for new Vision Partners this month, so thank you so much. Go to fromhisheart.org. Well, time is gone for today, but we hope that you'll join us next time for the fourth message in Pastor Jeff's series, Got Trouble? What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Join us on Thursday, right here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is blessed, there is hope. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for you. Find out about that. Go
go to fromhisheart.org.